psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
I mean, it really takes my breath away when I look back on how quickly those kids grew up. A father is the first man in a little girl's life.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
Well, it'll be a great disappointment to some in the media, I'm sure.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Welcome to this Memorial Day edition of Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Dr. Dobson, I know this day is one which lies very close to your heart.
Well, that's true, Luann. It's a very meaningful day for millions of Americans, and it is for me personally as a student of history, an amateur student of history, and a passionate supporter of the U.S. military. You know, the men and women who are serving today are making huge sacrifices, whether they're on a battlefield in the Middle East or whether they're on temporary duty somewhere else around the world, we owe a debt of gratitude to them and to their families and to their children. Of course, Memorial Day is primarily an occasion to remember all the heroes who lost their lives in the defense of liberty. And that brings us to the ceremony that occurs each year at Arlington National Cemetery at the Tomb of the Unknowns. It used to be called the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and now it's just the Tomb of the Unknowns. And if I, Luann, might be permitted to make an editorial comment, I think it's regrettable that President Barack Obama will not be attending that service today. I'm told that he is taking a vacation with his family. He will be in Chicago. We don't know whether he's going to attend a military service or a remembrance while he's there, but I think he should have been at the Arlington National Cemetery. That's where presidents have historically honored the war dead. President George W. Bush, in his 8 years in office, was there 7 of those years, and the other year he was at a ceremony in Normandy. President Bill Clinton, to his credit, was in office 8 years and attended the ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery all 8 years. And so it goes back. I just think that the president should have been there today.
Well, I would guess a lot of people share your sentiments today. I'm sure many people are visiting the graves of their own local fallen servicemen and women. Many people use this as an occasion to visit the graves of their own friends and family who've passed away. It is a sober day.
It is, and it kind of represents the unofficial beginning of the summer when school's out and kids are going to be at home. And parents might take this occasion to kind of do a little inventory of their relationship with their children and the things that they're trying to accomplish. And to help folks think about that, we have a program today that I believe is very, very appropriate. We're suggesting that parents consider their relationship with their children, how much time they're giving them, what they're trying to accomplish in these parenting years, and how that relates to Scripture. And I think that will let our listeners know where we're headed with today's program.
Well, I know as a mom, summertime really lets me shift my schedule a little bit and change some things around, reassess, as you've said. Today, we have two longtime friends of yours here with us to help do that. I'm referring to the Smalley-Trent team, Dr. Gary Smalley and Dr. John Trent. Gary Smalley, of course, has written over 50 books on marriage and relationships, continues to be a very popular keynote speaker around the country. Dr. John Trent is the president of Strong Families, also a published author and a favorite of audiences everywhere. Doctor, you recorded this conversation with him a while back, but it is classic material. We're going to revisit that today. To begin with, you had one of their books in front of you. Let's jump right to it. Here now on this Family Talk broadcast, Dr. James Dobson.
Let me read the cover here. The script at the top says, "No matter your age, the approval of your parents affects how you view yourself and your ability to pass along that approval to your children, spouse, and friends. Many people spend a lifetime looking for this acceptance. The Bible calls the blessing." So the title of the book is The Blessing.
Obviously, you make reference to the Old Testament there, don't you? That immediately connotes Jacob and Esau and some of the other instances of blessing from one generation to the other. And that is your frame of reference.
That's right. When we began to look at this concept in the Old Testament, actually, we were seeing it every day in our counseling office. We were seeing people coming in and saying that for years they had sought and tried to find that acceptance and a feeling of being valuable to their parents. Well, as we went to the scriptures, and that's where we looked, was with Jacob and Esau, all of a sudden we saw someone who was saying the very same thing that they were. He was crying out after missing out on the blessing from his dad and saying, oh, you know, if I could only have that blessing. And do you only have one blessing, my father?
It seems a little unfair, and who am I to criticize Old Testament patriarchs, but it seems a little unfair that they only had a blessing for the elder child and only for the male child. You obviously are not making that suggestion, are you?
Well, no, and actually, as we got into this, what we discovered was that there isn't just a blessing just for the older child. There was a specific blessing for the older child. But actually, what we discovered was, like in Genesis chapter 49, there's 12 sons. All 12 of them receive a blessing. And we studied rabbinical traditions. We met with rabbis. And what we found out was that there was actually a blessing that mothers gave to their daughters. There was a blessing that fathers gave to each of their children, but also a very specific blessing to the oldest son. So this idea of blessing kids was one that was for everybody in the family, and both mom and dad got involved in it. And we never knew that until we got into researching this.
Well, what was transmitted at the time of that blessing? What did the blessing consist of? What was its purpose?
Well, every time we saw this, Jim, in Scripture, both the Old Testament and New Testament, in fact, the time that Christ rebukes the disciples and asks the little children to come unto him, and then he touched them and he blessed them, every time we saw that somebody was being blessed, they always used certain elements. They were always present there, like touch and spoken word and different things. So we looked up the word blessing in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, and it comes from the word bending the knee, forcing a camel down on its knee. In other words, sort of bowing in the presence of somebody that's very valuable.
Mm.
So when we bless someone, it's not just our children, too. We can bless friends, we can bless our parents, you know, all kinds of things. But we saw that what it really means is attaching a high value to a person. It's showing and saying that a person is very, very special. And then we began to realize that if a person doesn't receive this during his childhood, that it does have a very negative effect on their life for their entire life.
Now, in the Old Testament especially, the blessing had the connotation of property rights and material blessings and so on. But you mean it in a little different way than that.
That's right, Jim. What we mean is not so much the idea of property rights, because for the firstborn, for example, they did get a double portion of the inheritance. So they got more property and more cattle, more land. But there has always been a part of the blessing that had to do with the relationship that was there as a part of parent and child. And that's what the, for example, Orthodox Jewish homes have continued to pass on to their kids. They don't necessarily pass down the rights of inheritance, but they say that relationship-wise, there's some things that we can continue to pass down to our kids. So that's what we're really honing in on.
And so what we wanted to communicate was, here are five practical, simple, and yet very profound, they have a profound effect, we could say, on a person if they're given on a regular basis. And that's what we wanted to communicate, because we see how valuable it's been in our own children's lives and in the lives of a lot of people we've counseled.
Okay, let's talk about those five components of the blessing. What's the first one?
Probably the most important relational principle that I know of, and that is making a decision that someone else is very valuable. It's really another way of saying that we honor them. We're standing in the presence of somebody extremely valuable. They're very important, highly significant, worthwhile. They're worth my time and energy and so on. Well, a lot of children grow up without ever feeling that. They never hear from mom and dad. They wonder, for example, if there's been a separation in the home, or maybe they're adopted. They wonder, did mom and dad ever
did they care at all about me? And so it has a real effect on their life. So we start the whole thing off by saying that when we bless our children, we literally as parents make a decision to place high value on them. And it's kind of like this. Let's say 0 to 10. 0 is something, a very low worth, the lowest value, and 10 something high. It's the highest value. We say, where are our children in our own thinking? Are they very important? Are they up in the 8, 9s level? And when we do that, it's kind of a reflection of what Christ gave us. He said that wherever a person's treasure is, that's where their heart is also. Yes. So what we treasure is where our feelings are and our, you know, we want to be there and that kind of thing. So if we're not treasuring our children or our friends or our parents or whatever, then there are those problems that come.
We should have clarified this before we started into that five-part description, but you're not talking about one blessing at one time. You know, when we begin to talk about what you just said, it's obvious that it may be a daily blessing.
Absolutely. Right. In fact, it is a daily blessing that we give to one another. And again, I think one of the reasons why this has been sort of a popular idea is because we all of us are searching for our own worth, our own value. Are we valuable? And it's certainly strengthening when someone comes up to us and says, you know, I really appreciate this about you, or I really, you know, whatever. When they make us feel like we're very valuable, like you're actually, we sense this every time we're around your organization, you and your employees, and even today, this morning, you sent a message for us to get it, and the way you did it was so honoring. It was like blessing us. It made us feel valuable, and you apparently have made a decision that people are important, so you're blessing a lot of us by making that decision.
You just blessed me by making that statement. That is important to us, and it really pleases me if you feel that when you're here. I hope everybody does, because we are all of equal worth, and that ought to come through.
It comes from the very beginning. You come to the receptionist right on up.
Well, and Jim, the other thing, when it comes to kids too, but people in general, anyone, but kids in particular, their radar system is really attuned to whether or not they're being treated as valuable.
Absolutely.
We've had so many people tell us that their pet poodle, this one woman told us recently that her mother felt that her pet poodle was more important than her daughter was. The reason why was because this, every time she would talk to the pet poodle, she would use a nice tone of voice. She'd, you know, take time and let the animal cuddle up to him. But when it came to her daughter, she was rough, unreachable. And kids almost have a radar system to say, where am I at? 1 to 10.
Boy,
we may
they
say they're a 10, but if they see it as a 2, they're not going to respond.
And they read those cues. It amazes me how well they read it. They assess that quicker than almost any other component in the home. And you're saying to make a conscious effort to extend that kind of blessing on a daily basis, if possible.
Sure, because a lot of parents are not aware that they can make a decision to value someone, and it will affect their emotional response to that person, their physical response, their attitude. In fact, when I think of the scripture, I think of Proverbs, the 15th chapter, that talks about excited eyes or bright eyes communicate to a person that you're valuable. I'm in the presence of somebody really important because I'm so excited about being with them, kind of thing. And I think that parents don't realize that's not something we should try to fake. That comes out of valuing someone.
It's a manifestation of a value system. All right, let's talk about the second component.
Well, the second component was every time in the Old Testament that a parent blessed a child, there was always meaningful touch involved. Every time. And one of the things they've done studies about how physically, and you've talked about that too, even on this program, about how physiologically when we touch someone, it's healing to them. Their hemoglobin level goes up. Now, if I reached out and touched, you know, my little daughter, she wouldn't say, oh, great, Dad, my hemoglobin level is going up. You know, she wouldn't say that. But there's something chemically that even takes place. But even more important, there's something symbolically that takes place. Jim, you know, like I could tell you a story real recently. We just heard of a man who here in California had a major heart attack. He was in his 50s. His dad was in his 80s. And we were on a radio talk show, and he called in and told us this story. And to his knowledge, his dad had never hugged him, had never held him, certainly had never told him that he loved him, ever, that he could remember. Well, now the son, 51-year-old son, is dying. He's in a hospital. And so the father flies across country to his bedside, and he said, you know, my dad never did say, even then, that he loved me. But he did something. He reached out and he just took his hand and he held his hand for just about an hour. He just sat on the bed and held his hand. Well, 2 days later, the 80-year-old father died. This man who had a heart attack lived, ended up living. He had a massive heart attack. He ended up living. But he says, you know, to this day, I know that my dad loved me. He could never say it, but I knew it by just that one act of touch.
Blessed him through holding his hand.
That's right. Just that it can be so powerful, just that one act.
You know, I know in your book you made reference to Jesus and the leper. That story has great meaning for me when you are aware of the laws at that time regarding lepers. You know, we think of AIDS patients today as being scary. We want to stay away from them. I regret what we say to those who are sick with any disease like that. But the leper had to shout unclean when anybody came near them. They had to keep their distance, and no one ever touched them. And yet Jesus walked up to the leper and not only spoke to him, but reached out and touched him, which was just unthinkable at that time. And it was a way of blessing him.
Well, right. And Jim, I think that, like in my own home, for example, I'm the last of six children, and I don't really remember seeing my mom and dad doing anything to reflect love and, you know, caring and value type of thing. There was a lot of arguments and those kinds of things. So I had to learn a lot of this stuff on my own after marriage and my wife, Norma.
They did not hold you?
No, I don't remember them ever holding me. So that when I married, in fact, I even told my wife, Norma, before we married, I asked her if she'd marry me, and then I qualified it by saying, now, I'm not going to be one of those touchy-huggy kind of guys, so I just need to tell you that up front, you know, because that's not me. So, I mean, I had to make a decision, literally. Like, parents will have to make a decision as they're listening, because we can't say, well, I'm just not a touchy kind of a person, you know, I don't like that kind of thing, and so I'm not going to do it, and I'll just tell my children that I love them and that I value them, but I don't need to touch them. That's something so important, because in some medical journals that I've read, touching is not only essential for normal growth and development, but it's essential for life itself. So I just began to do that. I just started learning how to hug, and even, you know how sometimes you go into some churches in the country, and as soon as you get into the church, you know, six people are hugging you before you get to your chair. Other churches do not do that, but when I was in those churches, and some of them in the south part of our country, I felt real uncomfortable. I thought, oh, I don't want to come back here, you know, kind of thing. But I learned how to respond to that, and then I realized the reason I'm having such a hard time is because I wasn't hugged as a kid.
You know, the needs that you have as a child are so intense that they follow you into the adult years. And it's interesting to me that for all of us who work with people who have emotional needs, they often represent a childish need that wasn't met, and they're still reaching. Right. You know, if a woman especially had a bad relationship with her father, she is still reaching for that relationship somewhere in another man or from her own father. She's still trying to get him to play the role that he should have played. You run into that all the time.
We see it all the time. And, you know, one of the exciting things about this book, The Blessing, is that some of the children in their 30s and 40s have finally come to the place where they realize, my mom and dad, they are not going to give me this because they never received it. They don't even know how to give it. They wouldn't see it if it was right in front of them. So why don't I give it to them? We got one neat story up in one of the cities in our country where this gentleman called his father and said, Dad, I just want you to know I love you. And the dad hung up on him. He called him back and said, Dad, I want to tell you I love you. Hung up on him again. So then he said, I'm going to call him one more time. So he called his dad and he said, Dad, don't hang up on me this time. I want to tell you I love you. And his dad did not hang up. They talked for a few minutes. But what happened was that this dad was an alcoholic. And then what happened is that he was so moved by his son's response to him that he checked himself into a rehabilitation center. And months later, because of the response his son had to him, his son led him to the Lord. And now the two of them are going around trying to make sure the other children are blessed.
And it began with the blessing.
Oh, absolutely, because you can reverse this whole thing. I think, Jim, one of the neatest things that we heard recently was that a fellow who was paralyzed from his waist down, when he was in high school, he was so discouraged, and he contemplated suicide so many times. He thought, what use am I? And I'll never amount to anything. And two different men the same year valued him enough, and they had no idea what this was going to do to him, but they came up to him on separate times and they said, you know what? You have such a great voice. You know, you make a great radio announcer. You got to think of that when you get out of school and go into that area. Both of them said that to him. He does it today full time. He said, if those two men hadn't said that to me, they really blessed him. you know, by taking the time. And they probably thought that's such a small thing, you know, big deal. But it changed the guy's life and gave him a lot of hope about
the future. So this is not just within the family that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. When you go to church on Sunday morning, you look for who you might touch
and
who
bless.
You might
that's
bless.
Right. Yeah.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, in a home context, and we use this all over the place, churches particularly, but in a home context, we recently ran across a survey that was a study of the class of 1954 at Harvard University, just the women. And it was a longitudinal study that went over 20-some years. And what they discovered was that for these women, they tended to level out in terms of their success, both in relationships and vocationally, to the degree that dad valued them. And you know, we just see that so often. And that's one of the things that we tried to do with the Blessing Book is we tried to give dads in particular and try to motivate men in particular to make sure that they're building these elements in their kids. Jim, we ran across another study where a guy named Dr. Mark Holander, who's back in Michigan, studied over 150 women who had had three or more unwanted pregnancies. Most of them were prostitutes, but that was his population sample. And what he came to the conclusion was that in every case that he talked to, without exception, those gals had never been appropriately touched. Because I know there's somebody who may be saying, well, gosh, should we really touch our kids? You know, is that okay? But that's so important. But he found out that they had never been appropriately touched at home, and now they were looking for it in outside relationships. So we not only bless our kids and build up their value, we also protect them when we bless them.
Our time is almost gone, and we're not going to get to all five of those points. Gary, the last time you and I went through 5 points in your book, I said, you're just going to have to buy the book. I think I'm going to say that again this time.
That's right.
But do you all recommend a specific ceremony of any sort for blessing?
Yes. In fact, in the back part of this book, we have several different sections of scripture where we just put a blank line in it, and you can insert your children's name there. And I've done this with my children. I sit down on the bed sometimes at night, and I read this verse to them, and I insert their name. So it's just a real special kind of a blessing. Plus, you know, if we had more time, we could talk about the actual importance of spoken word and the kinds of things we can say to our children that really builds a sense of approval within them.
John, we have a minute or two. Let me ask you about the person who didn't get the blessing, the person who missed it. And now maybe their children are grown and gone, and maybe their parents are dead. What happens to them?
Well, one of the things that we talk about in the book and really encourage is the exciting thing is that our Heavenly Father offers each one of those five elements of the blessing is something He offers to us in a personal relationship with Him and with our spiritual family. For some people, the only blessing they're ever going to get is from a spiritual father at church or from a spiritual mother, because that's what 1 Timothy talks about, that we're to treat older men that way and younger women in a certain way to where it's our spiritual family. That's one thing. Another thing that they can do, though, is to really be honest with their situation and look into their parents' background. We're not trying to say that parents are terrible, demeaning kinds of people on purpose by any means. But in most cases, if they never got the blessing, they'll have a hard time passing it on.
In fact, Jim, what we found is that when a man and a mom and dad, if they didn't receive the blessing themselves, let's say, what usually will happen is that they can't give it. And so when a son or a daughter is trying to seek that from them, it's almost like hugging a lamp. Yeah. You know, they keep hugging the lamp. They keep saying, I want this lamp to respond, but the lamp is not going to respond. They need to go to a place where they're going to get that blessing. Yeah. And God established that in the church. He established it, you know, maybe it's their own children if they're already married. But that's really where they're going to get. They probably are not going to get it from that.
And when the mother or father can't give the blessing, they probably never got it themselves.
And that's why they can return it and give it first to their parents.
God bless you all. I know that your value system is rooted in the Word. You love the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
Ah, and there are thousands of people that are being touched by your ministry each year, and it's a pleasure to have you share it with us.
Well, thanks so much for having us on, Jim.
It's a privilege to be here, Jim.
And again, our thanks to Dr. Gary Smalley and Dr. John Trent on this Family Talk broadcast. Lots more information about both of these gentlemen can be found at our website, myfamilytalk.com, including links to their own ministries. And you'll see some information about a brand new venture that Dr. John Trent is starting. You'll want to take a look at that. Dr. Dobson, I loved how these gentlemen broadened that concept there in the close there to encompass all of us. I mean, not everybody received the blessing from their parents that they had hoped for, but we are here to say the Lord has not overlooked you. Those days can be redeemed.
You know, Luann, I thought Gary Smalley and John Trent just did a fine job of relating the examples of intergenerational blessing in the Scripture to the experience of parenting today. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated these two gentlemen. We took a lot of time at the top of the program, and I didn't want to cut the recording that we've just heard. Let me end by reminding people again of the significance of Memorial Day and finding some way to remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, whether it's with a flag out in front or attending a ceremony that was designed for this purpose, or just talking to your children about those who purchased our freedom. I think that would be very worthwhile.
Well, we salute all of our military men and women and their families today. In closing, just remember, we love to hear from you. You can jot us a line, myfamilytalk.com, myfamilytalk.com, and happy Memorial Day.